J. Cole came out and apologized for the song that he did dissing Kendrick Lamar. He said it didn't sit right with his spirit.
Okay. Right. He felt very self-aware.
Very J. Cole. We all know him as that. Right. Yes. Self-aware. Boom, boom. And the hip hop head in me was like, what is going on? Like, why would you do that? Why did you, you know, we want to see the battle, right? We want to see the battle. The mature, almost expanded, 50 almost 50 person, you know, self-aware human being in me gives him all the kudos in the world.
Yes.
Both of those things are existing at the same time.
Yes.
Right? And it made me think of this black men. Do black men feel like we have to lead with aggression all the time? All right, I got a couple of joints I want to play since, you know, for Nas' 30-year anniversary of Illmatic next week. It was the 19th.
It's not now. How are we playing it now?
Because that's in the middle of our pod cycle.
Oh.
So I want to do it now.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Yes.
Is it okay?
That's fine.
Well, you know, I don't get sensitive on Nas, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Goat.
We know.
Act like you're excited. Act like you're excited. Hey, act like you're excited. This is how we started off the day, guys. Damn it.
Hey.
Don't block us, YouTube.
Wait.
Record labels.
Do certain songs still get blocked?
We've been lucky so far.
Okay.
Nas 30-year anniversary of Illmatic.
You know,
19 April.
Nas still looking 16.
Still looking 16 with the edge up.
Listen.
You know, switch his hair up and everything.
He had dreads for a little bit. Had some cornrows. Still looking like a child.
Couple joints.
Hey, whose world is this?
The world is yours.
The world is yours.
I sip the dumb
peak, watching Gandhi till I'm charged. Writing in my book around all the words past the margin.
The whole of mic I'm throbbing.
Mechanical movement, understandable smooth shit that murderers move with.
The thief's theme, play me at night, they won't act right. The fiend of hip hop has got me stuck like a crack pipe. The mind act.
You know this one.
Hey. Hey, I was gonna say, can we get a little AZ?
You got a little AZ.
Can we get a little AZ?
You know what I'm saying? Pause.
Hey, shout out to AZ. Hey.
Shout out to Nas. 30 years. You know what I'm saying? All the producers, Q-Tip, Primo.
Hey, wow.
Extra P.
What a time to be alive.
What a time. AZ came out hard on this one, right? Pause. Alright, so I know it's the Illmatic anniversary next week, but you know, I gotta play a couple other joints. These are some of the joints that didn't make the album.
Oh. Wait, it didn't make the album?
Yeah, he put these out later on like a you know, bonus album.
Really?
Later, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if this was meant to be on Illmatic or not, but this is just extra Nas joints.
Okay. Okay.
Got a bachelor's degree.
33 recovering from plastic surgery.
Hey.
34B to 36 double D. San Diego at the Super
36
Bowl.
Double D.
The storyteller.
36 double D. Hello.
I was silked out. Boston was stout. He had the gators when she walked in. She lit up the room like Las Vegas. Terrell said our man's a fullback.
Oh, listen to
this. Drunk who fuck cheerleaders and wind up in the papers. It's easy to get the pussy. Just don't fall in love. Next thing you know, I'm hugged up with this bitch in the tub.
Oh!
Whoa.
Oh!
Whoa.
Uh.
No ideas original. There's nothing new under the sun. It's never what you do, but how it's done. But you base your happiness around material women and large paper. That means you inferior, not major. No ideas original. There's nothing new under the sun. It's never what you do, but how it's done. What you base your happiness around material women and large paper. That means you inferior, not major. If niggas could look inside my mind, you'll find where bodies are buried first. Look past the hotties and dimes. Go to the center, enter with caution. Past the brain cell graveyard, where we responsible for memory losses. Witness the horrific, the stench make you nauseous. See what I seen every day. I live with this torture. Lighting spliffs up to stay high like 24 hours. Sleep with my heat, wash with my gun in the shower. My tongue is power, it thrills women, kills demons. Long as I'm still breathing, I'm still winning. I teach them the
hey. Shout out to Nas, yo. 30 years of Illmatic. This is from It Was Written.
Yes.
It's arguably the best sophomore album ever.
Yeah.
Rap album ever.
How about that?
Possibly.
Everybody's looking for something.
Hey.
L Boogie.
L Boogie, what up?
L Boogie. Mmm.
What episode are we on? 62, right?
Yes.
62?
Kick me under.
I don't know.
Imagine smoking weed in the street without cops harassing. Imagine going to court with no trial. Lifestyle cruising blue Bahama waters. No welfare supporters. More conscious of the way we raise our daughters.
Whoa! Pod down, we don't want a whole block of us.
As I once said.
In light of what's going on out here in hip hop right now, I had to give a little dose of that ether. Mm. You know what I mean?
You didn't even give us one mic, damn.
Oh, one. Hey! I do a whole set and it's complaining that I didn't play her song.
I like the one with his dad too.
It's DJs, is this what it's like out there?
That's what it's like. You still not happy? Like
you didn't even play one mic. Yo, this is crazy. Yo, welcome to episode 62 of the Wear Brunch Podcast. Hey,
hello.
Man.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. I am Trina Marie, and this is my lovely husband.
Brocky, like the Black Rocky?
Yes, we are the Where's Brunch Podcast, and as always, if you would like to follow us on social media, we can be found on the TikTok, the Facebook, and the Instagram at Where's Brunch Podcast. Additionally, if you would like to stream us, you can listen to us on all streaming platforms to include Apple, Spotify, and now YouTube.
Yes, YouTube.
And
audio version,
but you can also subscribe to us on YouTube.
Please do.
Please drop us a comment. Say hello. Hello. Hey, hello. Let us know that you listen. Let us know you're following.
I don't know.
Give us 5 stars.
I don't know.
We like those.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Well, yo, once again, man, you know, shout out to Nas, 30-year anniversary of Illmatic. Yo, that's crazy.
Yes, y'all.
What's good, Trina Marie?
Whew, well, I'm feeling quite refreshed after apparently a 3-hour nap.
Something like that.
After
Saturday
brunch.
Saturday today.
We went to brunch and it was magnificent.
It was, yo.
We ate at Ada's and then we went over to Barca and we drank and then we came home and I went to sleep.
Yes. So Ada's is a dope brunch spot.
Yes.
And Barca is, I think they're owned by the same people.
I think they are the same people.
Barca is like this on the river,
yes,
outside cocktails, food type of thing, whatever. Yeah. So we went over there, had a couple cocktails.
So we had a couple cocktails. Didn't even know what I was drinking.
Apparently, cheers.
I was drinking not the drink that I ordered. And I drank 3 of them. So, hey, it works. It all works.
Right? Yeah, man. It does work out. But we're here now. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot going on. But how are you, though? Before we get to the grease.
I'm feeling fabulous.
Feeling good?
I'm feeling good. Just walked Senior Beans.
Yeah, he's staring at me like I have another snack for him, but I don't.
He's looking for the crack sticks.
Yup.
But I feel good. I feel rested. I feel great. I don't I don't have anything to complain about. My edges are laying down today.
The things black women have to be concerned
with. Listen, I have
with.
Looked at other episodes and seen them looking real crazy. Oh, man, nah. And I'm like, beautiful, yo. Why he ain't tell me the title today? Oh, my gosh.
I am not in a position to tell someone about their edges. I'm just not that educated on edges.
I got like three different edge control things, four different in it, and you should learn. You should learn.
Oh, man.
But how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm rested. Yesterday was rough, and the alcohol let me. We went out Thursday night.
Oh, on a school night.
On a school night, and which is cool, but yeah, we overindulged a little. I overindulged a little bit.
I guess I did too.
And my body let me know that at about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Ooh.
And that, you know, I had about 4 hours and 17 minutes of sleep. Ooh. Thursday night to Friday morning. So yesterday was rough, and today I'm very well rested. The CBD gummies are the truth.
Well, you look
shout out to Batch.
You looking good.
Thank you. I feel good. You know what I'm saying? I think maybe last sweatsuit day, probably. I think it's about to get hot.
Okay. But you smelling good.
Too. Oh, appreciate it. I put the extra little spritz on right before the show.
You smell like I just want to lick you.
Oh, you know, it's lickable. I mean, this scent is called Honey Kush. That sounds ooh, lickable.
Yes. Okay. I get it now. Hey. I get it. Hey.
Ladies. My wife nasty, y'all.
Ladies, you ever just like smelled man? You be like, oh.
Don't sniff me when we see each other out there, y'all, in our live events. Don't come up to me sniffing me, I'm telling you.
Oh, I will punch a bitch.
She get hood real quick. Well, we here now.
Yes, we are. It's been a busy news week.
It's been a busy week. Yes.
Period. It's been a busy week, but it's been a good week. The weather is transitioning. I think we have crossed over the river into spring.
Yeah, we in spring. Today was a little windy. Felt mm-hmm. good out. Felt and good. The temperature is supposed to go up from here.
Yes, I'm
so
ready.
So I think we're in a good space. How do you like these bubbles?
This Cremant.
Cremant?
A Cremant de Bourgogne.
You know.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's the bubbles are giving. Yes. The bubbles are giving. I like it. How do you like it?
I like it. It's nice. You know what I'm saying? A little $18.99 bottle.
Hey, so it worked out. A bargain. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. So... Do you have a specific place where you want to start, or can I kick this off real quick?
I will yield the floor to the congressman on the right.
So, you know, last week we talked about the whole Drake J. Cole stuff, right?
Yes. You know
what I'm saying? J. Cole dropped the joint. We ain't gonna get into that because between then and now, so we woke up to violence that day, and that violence quickly died down as J. Cole apologized to Kendrick, apologized to everybody, really. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that in a second. So fast forward to today.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Go ahead.
Can I shout out one of our listeners or Please. Two of our listeners? I would like to shout out Tom and Mary, who I saw at the wine shop on
Tuesday. We should call this a Tom and Mary segment because they are hip hop.
They are hip hop. And they saw me at the wine shop and they were commenting on last week's pod. And they wanted to ensure that we were going to follow up and address the new developments in J. Cole.
I'm here for it.
And Wale and Meek Mill. They wanted to ensure that that we were going to address that as well. So. Okay.
We are here to talk about it.
Hey, Mary. What up, Tom and Mary? Our favorite folks.
The most unassuming hip-hop heads you can imagine.
Yes.
So between then and now, like not even between then and now, everybody was waiting for the Drake response. And we're waiting to hear this. What is he going to do with Kendrick? Is Kendrick going to drop another joint before Drake comes out with something? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen? Because we all know Drake is Mr. Petty.
Petty Betty.
Petty. Right, which I love that about him as an MC, right? And so right before we're getting ready to do the pod, like we came home, like you said, took a little siesta.
Yes.
And of course, as always, I woke up first. And you know what I'm saying? I'm out here setting up. And my group chat is going crazy. And apparently Drake has dropped the disjoint. So let's get a little bit.
I would love to hear what Aubrey is saying this week.
Let's get a little bit.
Okay, Aubrey.
Hey, I could never be nobody number one fan. Your first number one, I had to put it in your hand. You pussies can't get booked outside America for Nan. I'm out in Tokyo because I'm big in Japan. I'm the hit maker y'all depend on. Backstage in my city, it was friend zone. You won't never take no chain off of us. How the fuck you big stepping with a size 7 man's on?
This Kendrick.
Part with the bite, nigga, what's up? I know my picture on the wall when y'all cook up. Extortion, baby, whole career, you been shook up. Cause Top told you drop it, give me 50 likes of push-ups. Huh, your last one brick, you really not on shit. They make excuses for you cause they hate to see me lit. Pull your contract cause we gotta see the split. The way you doing splits, bitch, your pants might rip. You better do that motherfucking show inside the bitty. Maroon 5 need a verse, you better make it witty. Then we need a verse for the Swifties. Top say drop, you better drop and give them 50. 50.
Can we talk about the sample? Mike, is that Michael Myers? Michael Myers sample?
You tell me. I don't know. I didn't analyze the beat at all.
The beat, I believe, is that Michael Myers or is that Jason? It's one of the.
The piano in the background.
Is that Michael Myers or Jason?
I think that's Halloween.
Halloween, so that would be Mike Myers.
Right. Damn, that's a good question. That's
okay.
Good, nice. This is why this works so well.
This is why I'm your wife. So
this is why
he's coming out like a murderer.
He's
coming out,
and he has been channeling Vybz Kartel for weeks, which is someone who he's always spoken about highly about, and he's a dancehall artist who just went to war against a bunch of artists and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he's been leading up to this. He starts off going straight at Future, right? Because okay. Future and his one of Future's songs, he said, you a nigga number one fan, dog. And he's like, how can I be a number one fan? He goes straight at Future.
He said, I put your first hit in your hand.
Because he was on that, he was on one of Future's first joints and whatnot. So, and they actually fell out back then because he didn't show up for the video, or he wouldn't do the video, or something to that effect.
Okay.
So he's going in. He's going in on everybody. He's going in on Kenny, saying, you know, he wears a size 7 shoe and all this other stuff. Like, because Kenny is Kendrick Lamar. Because he's a shorter dude. And Drake is kind of tall, I guess, or whatever. So he's shooting shots at him because he's a shorter dude. Hey, listen, 5'7", y'all said?
That's me.
Said he wears a size 7. He calls him a midget later on. It gets grimy.
Yes, and apparently Mr. Rosé has come out with a thing I just saw.
Yeah, and it's a snooze fest.
And I didn't know what I was really listening
it's
to.
It's a snooze fest. It sounds like rushed and everything. He should have took his time.
Mr. Rosé.
He's not stealing any thunder from this right here.
Just stick to the cocaine music, Mr. Rosé. Just stick to that. We like that. We like the port cocaine smuggle music.
So it's going crazy. Like, Drake goes in on this track. Okay. So y'all listen to it. I'm not gonna play the whole song here. Yeah. I love the petty Drake. I knew he was gonna come back with everyone uh-huh. knew he was gonna come yeah, back with something. Know. It's not gonna just go down like mm-hmm. that. And so not too much more to say about that. Still digesting this.
Okay.
It's still happening. However, let's go back a little bit.
A little.
Right? Okay. And talk about, because this my excitement for this
yes.
is really part of the conflict the internal conflict that a lot of us had, and we recognized when J. Cole apologized.
Oh. All
right. So J. Cole came out and apologized for the song that he did dissing Kendrick Lamar. He mm-hmm. said it didn't sit right with his spirit.
Okay.
Right.
He felt very self-aware.
Very J. Cole, we all know him as that. Right. Yes. Self-aware. Boom, boom. And the hip hop head in me was like, what is going on? Like, why would you do that? Why did you, you know, we want to see the battle, right? We want okay. to see the battle. The mature, almost 50 person, you know, self-aware human being in me gives him all the kudos in the world.
Yes.
Both of those things are existing at the same time.
Yes.
Right. And it made me think, of this black men. Do black men feel like we have to lead with aggression all the time?
I think that is a very, I don't want to say 100% accurate statement, but I think it is a very probable statement that many feel, especially because, okay, let's go back to me listening to Mr. Budden's podcast last week mm-hmm. and how disappointed he was mm-hmm. in what he was hearing and succumbing to the pressures of Mr. Budden and his influence on the media spin, yeah. the industry, all of those things. And so people just think that every rap song or everything has to be like a battle, a collision, a war of words, and you must take out the opponent and all of that stuff. And unfortunately, yes, black men are the architects of hip hop, and they yeah. have to, I mean, the foundations were often battle raps.
Yes, yes. It's part of the culture.
There's always been battle rap, but some of us have evolved and our emotional intelligence has increased. Yeah,
I love that.
And we realize that that's not necessarily needed. Right. You can still exist and put out fantastic music and not bring another person down or have to fight with someone else. You can just put out dope shit.
And you could, and you can, you should be allowed to mm-hmm. Do something, see something wrong with that and apologize for it and yeah. take it back.
Correction.
Like that's, you know, that... And that side, like even referencing Joe Budden on that particular episode, mm. you remember I went back and listened
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, you listened. And versus watching.
I typically watch that show and I listened to it because I felt like some stuff was missing. Like me and Joe and I spoke about it and was like, yo, they didn't talk about this. They didn't talk about that. So I went and listened. And at the end, you know, he plays music. They do their sleeper segment, right? At the end. And he said, he was like, no, he basically was like, he big up J. Cole for his self-awareness. And you okay. know, he's like, I support anybody that's looking out for, you know, their spirit and so on and so forth or whatever. So yeah. because at the end of the day, that is the most important thing.
Right. Because it doesn't have to be no dumb shit. Remember what happened with Biggie and Tupac?
Right. And we all go back and reference that because we all have trauma from that.
We do.
We have trauma from that. The reality is that happened once.
Yeah.
And it's not something that happens in hip hop. However, violence does occur.
Yes.
In hip hop.
We grew up in a time where there were really shootings and stabbings at rap concerts.
Listen, I sat here on the pod and gave the police crap in my hometown because every time we came outside from the concert, they're out there on mm-hmm. horses. I'm guilty of leaving some stuff out. There were shootings and fights every single time we went to concerts.
Yeah, there were.
Like, it was just a regular thing. You yes. know what I mean? And we would continue to hang out mm-hmm. until the shooting started, and then we would leave. But anyway, yeah. I digress. So, the aggression thing, and so, can they afford to be going, clashing, and being aggressive with each other while the music industry is raping and raping and raping? Like, should that aggression be pointed somewhere else?
Probably.
Why aren't there any like diss tracks going after the industry?
Because they have to names. Because they have to get paid.
Right.
And the point of this is that they want to check.
But they're not actually getting paid from the industry.
I understand that, but how else is the music going to get out?
Independently.
Everybody's independent projects don't always
circulate. They don't.
So you have to use the industry in order to circulate your craft and in order for others to have access to your craft. So going after the industry is probably not the best way to do it.
Everybody ain't Kanye. Because Kanye's been going at everybody. Well, put out his stuff independently.
Mr. Ye is a special case study.
Yeah,
he's a different case study for us all. He's also a millionaire, I think.
Yeah, I think he dropped out of Billy status. Yeah, once he dropped out of Billy Adidas stuff.
He has a different sort of influence on the culture. He has delved into the Christian.
He's done a lot.
He's delved into so many different fields and is like on megastar status. So he's able to do that and go against the status quo. Everyone can't really do that if they want to eat.
That's true, man. And you know, people who are not as established in music as he is, mm-hmm. you can't necessarily take those risks. Or you could, but there's a lot at stake.
He's still getting checks for old production stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah. He's good.
I just listened to Number One in the shower the other day. Okay? Him and Pharrell. I was Number One.
He'd be fine with the joints.
Yeah, you know? So he's still getting, and many other artists aren't doing that. Kanye is not only an artist, he's a producer.
He's an artist Beyonce. Across the board.
He's right. done Jay. He's done all of these mm-hmm. folks. So mm-hmm. he's getting other money. All these artists aren't getting that money.
Yeah.
So the aggression, I mean, if you look back at like old school aggression, I'm trying to think of who was LL. Was it LL against Kumo D?
LL went against everybody. LL versus Kumo D, MC uh-huh. Hammer, Ice-T.
MC Hammer?
Yes. Really? He dissed all three. Don't make me find the song. I know the song.
Really?
He dissed all three of them on the same song.
And look at us. We're still here. He's still here, and he was on TV.
Yeah.
And then he hosts the Grammys. Like, yeah. LL is still here from all those diss albums. Kumo D, I mean, he's not really rapping anymore, but
he was
great in Beat Street.
Yeah, I mean, Kumo D is Kumo D. He's Kumo D. He's solidified. Crush Groove.
Crush Groove with the Christmas rap.
Right,
you know?
The Christmas rap.
Come on. I mean.
My mom loved Kumo D, yo. She loved Kumo D.
Really?
Yes, she did.
I got to talk to her about that. But I mean.
So
you know.
It's that internal conflict mm-hmm. that I'm living with. And it just jumped out with this J. Cole apology.
We don't have to be aggressive. Or y'all men don't have to be aggressive. And emotional intelligence is great. Going to therapy is great. And you can still put out quality music.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to go at someone, especially someone you care about, who you consider a friend, because the industry is pressuring you to do that,
right.
to sell more music so they can make more money.
Right. Somebody said that Drake hit up J. Cole and said, "Hey, man, you might just get out the way, because it's about to get ugly. We about to be shooting outside. Go get in the house."
Aubrey is another one.
He's about to be shooting.
He's a bit of a superstar, you know.
Big, he's mega.
He's a mega superstar. He, you know, has his hands in multiple pots.
Mm-hmm.
He started out as an actor.
Yeah.
He's got that old Degrassi junior high money. Mm-hmm. And now he's here. And he's been a megastar for over a decade.
He's been on top for a long time.
A very long time. Maybe two decades? Not two.
No, it's been a long time, though, yo.
A solid 10 years.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, so, you know, there's different levels to it. But, I mean, hip-hop is, the foundation is sparring to say that you're better than such and such.
It is.
And all of that. So this is all part of it, but you can do it. There's a healthy sparring way.
It just reminds me of cats out there in the streets going at each other over a block. That they don't own. You know what I mean?
Mm.
It just kind of reminded me of that. Oh, whatever. Wow. And that's like, that's a sad thing or whatever. But, you know. Y'all look into it, man. What y'all think about this whole it's Drake versus everybody right now. That's what it is.
Oh.
He dissed Metro Boomin. He dissed Future. He dissed Rick Ross. He dissed Kendrick Lamar.
What am I missing about Metro Boomin? What? I mean,
If you don't Metro don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a producer.
Okay.
He's a producer. Him and Future put out two albums in the past.
Okay.
A month or so. Okay. And the second album mm-hmm. is like, you know, Future be doing the singy, mm-hmm. you know, love type stuff too. They do that on the second album.
Yeah.
But he does have a bonus. They put out a bonus, like a volume two piece, mm-hmm. like a little mixtape on the end of the second one, and it's all like hard street shit and it's fire.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're doing their thing. So yeah, that's the Metro thing. But him and Drake has had some kind of issues or whatever.
They did a whole album together, didn't they? They was wearing the Future, fluffy shirts.
Future and Drake did a whole joint together.
They did. Yeah, they had the fluffy shirts on, they did the videos and stuff. Remember they were doing like the Lover Boy, what was it?
I don't remember the fluffy shirts.
I remember the I thought they had on like these outfits in their video or something.
They might
have. But I don't understand. Like, what's the issue, y'all?
I don't know, man. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. You know, I will be monitoring and letting you know what's happening out here.
It is the summer. So are we going to see tours? Are we going to see music videos? Are we going to see... What are we going to see? Are we going to get visuals for these beefs? What is going to happen? Are we going to see team-ups? Is it going to be Team Drake? If whoever comes under Team Drake versus Team whoever is da-da-da-da to go against Drake? Like, how are we going to do this? Is it going to be Jet versus Jet? Is it going to be, you know,
I don't know.
Who got what?
Civil War. Let's go. Let's rock.
Okay, I hope they just all making money from this.
I don't care if they're making money or not. I just want to hear the music. That's okay. It.
Can I make a request? Mr. 2 Chainz, where are you?
Oh, 2 Chainz.
I know you were on BMF and you did the...
Oh, my God.
Well, you got shot, but Mr. 2 Chainz, can you come back?
Have we talked about how bad BMF is on the show? I think we did, right?
Yes, we have.
I mean,
yes, we
okay.
Have.
All right, we don't have to go back into that.
We're not going to slam it because you know what? We don't. Black folks don't get enough TV shows as it is, so we're just going to rock with the fact that we're going to watch it and we're going to support black TV shows.
We're going to sit here and stare you right square in your eyes and say BMF is good.
I'm not going to say that.
Yo, the 2 Chainz
entertainment.
The 2 Chainz shoot up.
See. We were reenacting it.
His shoulders, he looked like he was doing a Harlem Shake.
Listen, let me tell you, whoever his acting coach was, they got it. They got it.
Yo, shout out to Sierra's manager.
Sierra?
Yeah.
Oh, here
whoever
you go.
Her shout out to her manager.
Stop.
Whoever
it.
Her manager is that Stop got her it. On that Missy Busta Rhymes tour.
Stop it.
They talking about 3 Titans. Oh, whoa.
Okay, so let's
knock it.
Are we going
off.
Here? Are we going here? Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, this week, Missy Misdemeanor Elliott announced that her tour, her first ever headlining tour,
that's crazy,
is happening after 27 years since her first album, Super Duper Fly, was released. Missy is going on tour with Busta and Ciara. Now, I got the Busta thing hands down. Put your hands where my eyes can see. Mm-hmm. I'm here. I am a super duper Missy fan. Oh, and Timbaland. So I don't know what's gonna happen.
I mean, the music is gonna be there.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. I want to go. Every bone in my body says I want to go, and I want to be in a good section, and I just want to lose my mind. She's a, you know, I want to be there. However, comma. Even with me having Verizon, us having Verizon, and seeing the pre-sale tickets, I felt a bit of a ways about $399 before tax, service fee, Ticketmaster fee,
you coming
and all of that.
That's almost a stack.
For a ticket to the show.
2 tickets is almost $1,000.
And I love Missy. Missy, I love you. Missy, I've loved you since you were with... the girl group, when Dalvin and Devontae was, you know, she was singing on the roof in New York City and she had a big ponytail and bangs.
And Busta Rhymes from Long Island.
And Trevor.
Trevor.
It's from Long Island.
You had to
Island.
Go to his Jamaican name.
Trevor. It's from Long Island, okay? We're going to keep it 1,000.
Trevor.
Leaders of the new school.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
When he busted out.
Oh, man. Oh,
when he
man.
He busted out. Just another case of that old PTA. Come on. I want to see them. Sierra, I think we could arrive late. And we could do the 1-2 step. And then roll into Busta.
Because cool. That's going to be the last song she does.
Because that's going to be the last song she does. Because
I don't know what the other 2 songs going to be.
My body. You know, but shout out to her because, yeah, she's got a heck of a management. And Missy did produce several of her songs. Mm. So I see the connection there. Mm. But as far as Titans, we could have just done Missy, Timbaland, and Busta. We'd have been good.
You keep dragging Timbaland in. The Timbaland is not a part of this tour.
He is a part of the tour. He is going on the tour, too.
He is?
Yes. Timbaland is on the tour as
okay, cool.
well. Now,
what
I don't
is he
know
doing?
How that exactly plays out. Maybe he's just going to come out like he did. Okay,
maybe
so
he'll just do some spots.
Story time. When I used to dance on Planet Groove on BET, it was Missy, Timbaland, and Magoo. Missy came out. She performed. Tim came out with her. He was on the set. He kind of like just...
Because they was trying to get things popping at that point.
They were
getting
things popping at that time. So maybe he's going to do the same. But Timbaland is on another stratosphere because he's been, just don't bring Justin Timberlake out because we don't want to see him.
No, we ain't.
The Black Woman Delegation has not forgotten Janet Jackson, okay? Justin, to the left.
Are they going to have brighter lights for Ciara because she's been living in Beyonce's shadow for so long?
You so petty. You so petty. I don't even know what to say to you right now.
Oh, listen. Man. Good luck, yo. Good luck, Sierra. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Sierra.
But yes, I really, in my heart of hearts, I want to experience this concert.
Yeah.
It's coming to Washington, D.C.
Even the nosebleeds are crazy, right?
The nosebleeds, well, there were certain packages during the pre-sale, mm-hmm. nosebleeds in the 400 sections that were high.
Mm.
But the floor, the Meet Timbaland package. Oh, yeah, because there is a Meet Timbaland package.
Right.
There is a Meet Missy package.
Yeah, I don't care about and meeting those people.
You know, I don't want to meet the people. I want to be down in a to the MI.
We want to be in the 100s, possibly yes, 200s.
I want to be in the 100s.
Listen, Linda.
She's
listen.
A.
What? It's not what? About.
What? What you know about Timothy? Let me know.
It's about the money, but it's not about the money, right? It's just like, yo, these concert prices are crazy.
They are. Just like everyone is just saying, Maxwell is going on tour with Jasmine Sullivan. The tickets are crazy. Who else is going on tour? There's a couple other Usher's going on tour. The tickets are crazy. Listen, I just saw you on the Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm good. You're just going to roller skate? You're going to do a couple of, okay, I'm good.
Two artists that I love. But hate to watch live. Nas and Maxwell.
Oh.
I didn't like either one of them live. And I've been to multiple Nas shows.
I've been to multiple Maxwell shows. I probably was at Maxwell's first show in 1995 at Howard University, Crampton Auditorium, where he was booed.
Yeah.
By all the men.
Oh, that's when he first came out.
When he first came
out. He was like humping the stage and stuff, right?
He humped the stage. He was opening for the Fugees.
Yeah.
And he was singing, and he was on the ground, and he was humping, and he was singing, and his afro was big. We're talking 1995.
Yeah.
His album, when it first came out, was at Best Buy for $5.99.
It sure was.
I'm showing my age because I bought it.
Shout out to Donnie. Donnie put us on the Maxwell.
$5.99 Urban Hang Suite. Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite.
We thought he was a weirdo.
But that was some
and
sex.
It kind of was.
That was some good sex music.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, man. Just throw it on, you know what I'm saying? Get you a little black light or something. Set the mood. Light an incense.
Okay, light an incense.
It's going down.
Holla. Light your little tea light with the Bath and Body Works oil.
And then
the body, you put that in the thing.
Oh, I forgot to light your candle over there in the corner.
You put the oil in the thing and with the tea light. And it, yeah, you do that. Set the room up. Get your little sensual.
Set the room up. Yes. Set the room up.
Well, since you were talking about Sierra, can I like segue into something?
You ain't gonna ask me.
Okay.
Segue queen.
So Essence Magazine this week put out the sexiest man list, and they had three different covers.
Mm.
So since we were talking about Sierra, I guess we could talk about how Russell is one of the covers. Russell Wilson, Sierra's baby daddy and husband, is one of the sexiest men alive for Essence Magazine. And he's in like a fur coat and his hair shaved out. He looks really tanned. And then he's one cover, okay? And then the next cover is Damson Idris. And he's looking like a whole snack of chocolateness, okay? Yes, ladies, Essence Mag, just go there. They have the digital, they have the, you know, all the regular. And then finally, the third cover is Mr. Usher Raymond.
Mm.
He is the third sexiest man alive cover for Essence Magazine. Digital, go on essence.com, you can see it all. Usher is also doing interviews. They interview him and they ask him some questions. He's the only one. I don't know if they did it for Damson, and I don't know if they did it for Russell. But Usher's the one that I see the questions, and he's in a bathtub with water. And
I'm sure all three of them have pieces in the magazine.
The only one I saw was Usher that kept popping. They still printing?
They still print.
So I don't know if Essence is printing, but they do occasionally. I think it's on a quarterly thing. They're not doing monthly. I will say I don't know.
Can I hate now?
Yeah, you're gonna hate, but I didn't finish talking about Usher.
No, the three though.
Yes, the three.
Black women don't find Russell Wilson sexy.
Well, we
he has no edge.
We like he tries.
He has no edge, that's what makes him more corny.
I don't think he's corny. I think he's a spiritually grounded man who loves his wife and keeps impregnating her.
I'm a spiritually grounded man who loves my wife, but don't be impregnating her.
We passed that.
Come on. You know what I'm saying, though, right? He doesn't have an edge. He's like a good guy.
He's an NFL player. He got money. Check. Okay. Yeah, we're good.
Well, women in general find money sexy.
Yeah, they do.
So there's that. But you know what I'm saying? Russell Wilson on the cover of Essence Magazine.
I must say,
one of the three sexiest men alive.
I was very shocked to see that.
I was trying to figure out how I was going to participate in this conversation. And they found a way. Russell Wilson. Go ahead though,
he's
baby.
Sexy as a husband figure, you know. Now I saw Usher's interviews and they asked him about whose first crush was, and he goes on a whole diatribe interview about how his first crush was Chili. Sir, you just got married. Can you let Chili go? Chili is in a whole nother relationship and she trying to marry that other dude right now. Can you stop?
Hey man, yeah, this is that's funny. That's cool though, man. That's what's up. Essence Magazine.
Essence does this annually. They do the sexiest men thing annually. Mm-hmm. I believe this is the first time that they released three covers with three different men. Okay. And Damson Idris, he's a youngster. He's up and coming. He has projects that are in production right now. So I don't know what his next big movie thing or something is going to be. But he's a great artist, and the women love him too. He was great in Snowfall.
Snowfall.
Yeah.
Shout out to him, man. Snowfall. Yes. Fire, yo. So great show.
Yeah, I wanted to say.
You want to say more about Usher, though? You have more about Usher, you said?
He was in the bathtub. He was answering questions. He said one of the rare things that you don't know about him is that he's great in cold dips. He loves to do cold body submersions. He can sit in ice for like 20 minutes. And it was just like, you know, a lot of shirtlessness, almost like the D'Angelo kind of vibe of how does it feel where he's standing and it doesn't look like he has any drawers
on. Black women group chats going crazy. Mm, y'all nasty.
Not mine.
Y'all nasty.
Yeah, he doesn't do it for me exactly.
Well, you know, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah, but you know, black women love him.
Yeah,
I can't be mad at that. I mean, you know, he's been having a hell of a run. Like the Vegas thing,
really.
He is like for his career. You know what I'm saying? But thinking about when he actually came out,
yes,
it's great to see him where he is now. Up,
yeah, really, 16 years old.
Yep,
literally, he talks about his Diddy camp experience, to say the least.
Yeah, we don't
but
watch
we
that.
Have we have watched Usher grow, and that's probably why I don't look at him as like Like, I just remember him being a little kid, boy, singing My Way and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, but Essence does this annually. And they list all the sexy men and they great photos and great interviews, great pieces on folks. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, kudos to that.
That's what's up. For black women. Mad at that, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Essence Magazine and all the fellas.
Even
Russell Wilson.
Even
Russell Wilson.
Leave Russell alone. Leave that man alone. He love his wife.
That's good. He got ran out of Denver, though. Like, dude, if you can't go to Denver and take over.
Listen, like, but Jesus is he still getting a check?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, good for him. Listen,
he helped Sierra buy back her masters. You better be quiet.
Is that what she said? She said, Russell helped me get them.
She said Russell bought him.
That's a nice gift.
Yeah, he got her back on Masters. That's dope. I don't know.
That's his wife. I mean, listen, he seems like a stand-up guy. He seems like a really nice guy.
Right.
And that's good. There's nothing wrong with nice guys.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
He's taking care of
but future child. But I know black women like a little edge.
We like a little thug.
You know, like a little matter of fact, most women like a little edge. A little
naughty.
A little something.
And, I didn't know that you're going to, you know, smack me on the ass a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, exactly. You don't want him to be like,
praise Lord.
Hey, babe, you like when I smack you on your bottom? I'm sure that's what he says. I'm sure Russell Wilson refers to Sierra's ass as bottom.
I think Russell got some hood in him. We just don't know it.
No,
Russell's blackness comes out. They make him look real black.
Black and hood is not synonymous.
Okay, Russell got a little thug in him.
Nah, Russell ain't got no thug in him. Pause.
He got a little thug.
Hope for the best.
He got a little hallelujah thug. Okay?
Hallelujah thug. what else we got, man? What else we got?
Tell me about breakup etiquette when you're married versus boyfriend and girlfriend, because I don't understand.
The question is there breakup etiquette?
When you're married, it means you're getting a divorce.
I think we touched on this in Century Sunday a long time ago. We might have touched on this a little bit, but I don't know if we've talked about it on this pod.
I don't think so.
Is there actual etiquette, or is it once you're done with a relationship, all is fair in love and war type of thing?
Well, it's a little different when you're married.
No, no, because it's a relationship at the end of the day. So if you decide to leave, mm-hmm. you can leave. You can leave.
Yeah, you can leave. There's rules to it, nigga.
Okay,
go
ahead.
Don't be up on the street. Don't be up on the ground with another bitch and you still married to me.
She said up on the ground with another bitch. This is a timeout. Let me talk to my wife for a minute, y'all. I don't know if I've ever heard you use that word.
I use that word.
You shocked yourself just now.
He just did that. It must be the shim.
So I didn't even hear the rest of the statement. So go say it again, please.
If we're married, mm-hmm. and we decide to separate, we're still legally married. Don't be up on the gram posted up with a new chick.
Lucille had flowers delivered to her house, and she still lives with her husband.
She was kissing that dude, Dr. whatever his name was. She said she just want to have fun. She just want to be in the moment.
In the moment. So let me not derail this. So, okay, but no.
Show some respect. Like, marriage is different. If your boyfriend and girlfriend and you break up, all right, whatever. I don't want to talk to you no more. We're not together no more. Well, I'm going to unfriend you on socials. We're out of a relationship on Facebook.
Those are young kids. The relationship, part of the relationship hinges on social media interaction and stuff like that.
Yeah, they
do. Us, it's a little bit different with an older crowd, I believe.
Okay, so for older, are we talking our age group?
That's our demographic. I think so.
The same thing though. Old dudes, like, you shouldn't be up here putting up a new chick and your divorce papers ain't even filed yet, because you might mess around and go back to your wife. At the end of the day, you might realize, you know what? I ain't got it no more. I can't put it down. I can't put it down on her like I used to. I can't be out in these streets because these young girls want more than I'm willing to give. And, you know, I'm just going back home.
See, I think, so my point of view is that we're all human beings, right?
Yes.
And we're interacting with each other. Mm-hmm. So regardless of if we got married or not, I agree that with marriage comes a lot of other stuff. However, at the end of the day, like, you're a human being, right?
Yes.
So the way I interact with you, is there, whether we're married or not, is there an actual etiquette? Like,
yes, there's a freaking etiquette. How would you feel if me and you was together and then we broke up and I was out on a vacation with another dude, like, posted up on a beach in a bikini, his hands around my waist, his hands on my tits, all that kind of stuff.
We do the photos
and everything.
I would feel the same way that I would feel if an alien walked into Wegmans and bought the last bottle of champagne before I got to it. It's not something that's going to happen. What are we talking about?
Wait a minute.
It's not, you can't even think of this.
What are you talking about? Okay, but I'm saying, like,
nah, I'm messing with you, man. But yeah,
but that happens. Like, people break up and they had a side person waiting in the wings, and as soon as they break up, they just hop over to the next person, and it's like a whole new, you know, oh my gosh, she's on vacation with, well, who is that? And right. I thought you was with, and you know, right. Those type of things. Like, I think there's an etiquette. Maybe there's a wait period, maybe like 60 days or something. Where you don't post.
Oh, before the newness shows up?
Before the newness shows up. Like, you might have had them all along.
Maybe you
wait 60 days before you bring them out to the crowd.
So does that go, so that goes for non-married people. Married people, you feel like the divorce papers have to be finalized before you can publicly be with another person?
I believe so. The ink needs to be dry. The stamp, you need the seal on the divorce papers. Because even a legal separation, y'all can still mess around. First of all, y'all still married.
Mm-hmm.
Even a legal separation, because usually legal separations last 1 year, at least in the state of Virginia, and they last 1 year.
So you're speaking from a legal perspective.
So, nigga, you still married to me. Don't be out here posting up your new thotty chick who got a BBL that you running around with.
Why does it matter?
Because we're still married.
Well,
how would you feel if I was still married to you and I'm posting a new nigga?
Okay, so listen. Let's say us, right?
Yes.
When we got married.
Yes.
That at what point did you feel that we were married? At one point during that ceremony? did you feel that we were married? I felt, let me just give you my example. We were married once we said our vows to each other and committed to each other on that level in front of our village.
Okay.
We're married.
Okay.
We signed papers afterwards.
We did.
And filed those papers days later. Is that when we were married?
No, we were married at the end of the ceremony.
At the end of the ceremony, right?
Yeah, we married.
So a married couple, if they had determined that this relationship is over, mm-hmm. right? What difference does it make if a person decides to start seeing another person?
Because what if somebody changed their mind?
That's different. That's still it's still a matter of the heart, not a matter of legality.
I just, you know, I guess as a woman, I just feel like, you know, give me some respect. Put some respect on my name. If we've been married
for so
many kind of years and stuff, and we decide to part ways, mm-hmm. you know, give me some respect. Don't be out here doing the most with the next little hottie.
How about give mutual respect between the two people, mm-hmm. and say, this is, all right, listen, this is over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
If we're for
I don't
sure,
want
for
nothing
sure.
from you. Yeah. You don't need nothing from me. Mm-hmm. We're going to file this paperwork. That's going to go live your life.
Go live your life. But I don't want to see that bitch on your Instagram.
Okay? I can't win, y'all. I can't win with the black woman delegation, man. Mm-hmm. They have strict rules out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah, y'all help me out. I expect to hear from James and Joe by Wednesday.
Don't no black woman want to see you're still married to husband in Cabo with the new bitch. Okay, we don't want to see that, and we still married. Like, you shouldn't be doing it. First of all, where that money coming from? So because you probably owe me money.
Oh my God.
Okay,
so listen,
what did the divorce settlement go through? What are we doing? And you out here
divorce
on vacation
settlement.
Are we, and you out here with another chick? Like, come on, what are you doing?
So what if you go out, you know, a woman, she's going through a divorce. Her and the guy broke up. They broke up. The only thing left to do is the court date is set in September and it's April. Uh-huh. She goes out with her friend. She meets someone.
Uh-huh.
She has no control of it. She just meets someone randomly. Okay. And she feels like she's into the guy. Is it okay for her to, does she have to run away from that and say, no, I can't talk to you?
She can talk to him, but, you know, I think out of respect for all parties involved, as far as, you know, bringing him out to the world, you give a little bit of time.
Mm.
Yeah.
How much time?
I don't know.
Until the divorce is done?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I mean,
it's okay.
When I watch The Real Housewives of whatever, some people be jumping over to a next person and they still married to the other person while this is going on.
That's not real life.
Okay. That's not real life.
So so for him, mm-hmm. it's okay if he actually has someone and is doing his thing.
For him or her. You could do it, but I just think, like, especially if there's kids involved, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. Okay, and y'all are for sure
It's done.
Okay, just a little bit of time. Like, can we let can we see the judge? Can we go before the judge? Can we hear the gavel clink? We might not have a certified document, but can we get a clink?
Yeah.
And then go on about your business. But I understand some people can't wait because they already had the side person waiting in the wings and they was already humping and bumping.
It's time to go.
Yeah.
So look, I think I agree with you on a lot of stuff that you're saying. But breakup etiquette, for sure, mm-hmm. for me, it's like respect, right? In my mind, just respect other human beings and stuff like that.
Yeah, feelings.
I mean, when we were younger, we did wild stuff.
Like, yes.
I had a couple of wild breakups as a younger dude. You uh-huh. know what I'm saying?
Single or married breakup?
Single. Okay. Single. Yeah, single. I mean, even
single?
Shoot, my first, shit. My marriage, my other two marriages, breakup.
My single? Huh. Honey, I was out.
Okay. Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah.
So, you know, but as a mature adult and stuff, like, listen, you got to consider other people's feelings and
if you got
their
kids,
well-being and stuff like that, kids and even their grown kids.
Even grown kids, because my kids got opinions.
Right.
And they let me know.
Right, they do.
Ooh, baby.
They, they might call you after this conversation.
Ooh, yeah, they won't. They good.
They ain't watching this. They ain't listening to this.
They ain't listening to it. If they do, they ain't tell me. But if they did, they'd be like, I'm good. Yeah, Mom.
Maybe we'll clip it up, put it out.
Yeah,
Jordan.
And piss them off. Piss them off just a little bit.
What else is popping out here? What we want to talk about next?
I would like to give a a moment to the ladies, to the black women delegation.
Okay.
I think it's time. I think I can speak on it now. I want to talk about something that I have been experiencing for the last year and probably didn't realize exactly what it was because I was clueless. I was just feeling out of sync, out of whack, just crazy, couldn't focus, all this stuff. So I, in the last week, was officially diagnosed as being in menopause. Mm. And it took a really long time to get here to this diagnosis. And I want to share with everyone because I feel like it's something that we don't talk about. Even when I talked to my mom about it, she was like, oh, yeah, you know, I still kind of have high flashes now. And my mom is 68. So I'm like, I'm sorry. Come right, again. Because right. I'm not doing this right. for that
not
many
signing
years.
Up for that.
I'm not signing up for that. So about more than a year ago, I was beginning to get hot flashes. I was beginning to have issues with sleep, but not consistent. But over the time of 2023, it started to get worse. Mm. Okay. I was feeling brain fog. I was feeling fatigued. First of all, I'm a curvy girl already, and I was putting on weight for no apparent reason. It was just there. There was just pounds and inches coming on the body and not coming off the way that they normally do with my body. Because you know your body. You know how you can work off 5 pounds real quick. You know how you can work off 6 pounds. But as you get older, it becomes a little harder. So for me, I was paying attention to what was going on. I was complaining to my doctors. I have 3 doctors. I think it's 3. I have a primary care. I have, yes, a gynecologist, and I have an endocrinologist because I have thyroid disease, I have hypertension, and just, you know, you need your primary care because whatever. And I've been struggling. I mm-hmm. hadn't been sleeping. When I was sleeping, I would wake up and...
And you're known for getting good sleep.
Listen,
like the beginning of our relationship.
Queen.
Yeah.
I could go to sleep in a car and get back in the house and go right back dead sleep, like right out. And I wasn't having that type of sleep. I'd gotten down so bad that my sleep averages were down to a little under 6 hours.
Yeah, it's crazy for you.
Of sleep a night for solid months because I have an Apple Watch, so I'm able to give the actual documentation to my doctors and show them what's going on with me and how many times I'm waking up in the night and that sometimes it's so bad I'm sweating and all these things.
Yep.
So because a long time ago I had a hysterectomy, blah blah blah, I've not had my menses for more than a decade. So that was a thing. So they always said that it might happen for me earlier because of that or whatever. I still have my ovaries, blah, blah, blah. So as time has gone and gone in this last year, I've had hot flashes. I've had horrible sleep. I've had brain fog. I've had weight gain. I've had all these things, and I've been complaining to doctors. Of course, they do your labs. Everything is fine.
Yep.
You're okay. Nothing is wrong with you. And I'm like, you're fucking joking. I right. don't feel good. I cannot
you're
focus.
Clearly off.
I'm off. I'm my libido wasn't really, you know, do you think my libido went down?
Listen.
Okay, no, it didn't. But I just knew that my body was off, and I listened to it, and I complained, and I documented, and I wrote stuff down. I put notes in my phone. I kept complaining, and I kept advocating for myself. Back in July, I had a test called FSH. And if you don't know what an FSH is, that's a follicle stimulating hormone. It is the hormone that supports estrogen production in a woman's body. It regulates your ovulation, and also you have it too for sperm production. FSH levels rise as you age. Menopause can't be measured by FSH alone, but it is an important piece to the puzzle. So they have ranges on where your FSH can be based on where you are in your age group. My FSH back in July of 2023 was a 6. which is normal. That means that I'm fine. That means that there's no issues, even though I had been complaining of, at that point, it was quarterly hot flashes. They would come for 1 month and then disappear. And then it would come back again in 3 months and then disappear. And it would last for like a week and it would go away. But then as we got into this year or December, it was like nonstop hot flashes. Me complaining, I can't sleep, feeling horrible, can't focus, don't want to wake up, don't want to do anything. So I got the test done again this past month. My number was 39. When you look at the range, 40.
So this is the same test you had a 6?
Yeah, a 6 in. And it jumped to a 39. So in that phase of it, I went from being fine to menopause. They usually say the number is 40 or above, but my GYN was like, no, you've been talking about these symptoms. Mm-hmm. You got documentation. You're telling us about your sleep patterns. You're doing this. She's like, I'm just going to give you the estrogen patch.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because I have been feeling like shit. And I think that a tiny little patch, you can't even see it. You splack it on the trunk of your body. You try not to put it somewhere where fabric is going to rub against it and it may come off. But I'm a week in and I feel so much better. Mm-hmm. I am sleeping. I am not waking up in the middle of the night with hot flashes. My sex drive seems to have gone up a bit.
I'm doing pretty good as far as geniuses go.
So, you know, I've
hit all the drops.
I look at him in the morning and he's sleeping and I wanted to kind of like wake him up, but I was like, ooh,
she know how I am about my sleep though.
He needs his sleep, so I didn't want to wake him
up. I'm good at 7.
5:45.
Yo, I told her, I was like, yeah, I'll wake up. I had a little attitude, but I'm going to still get you the boots and pants. Boots and pants. Boots and pants. Boots and pants. Get the shoulders going.
So I would like to say to the ladies out there, if you are feeling off, if you know within your person that something ain't right, advocate for yourself.
I'm trying so hard not to sing Keith Sweat right now. Something right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Something.
Leave it at that. She can't resist it, y'all. See how I set her up just now?
I thought you was going to be like, my body all over you.
You got to say body. You got to say body. Okay, you know what I'm saying? I do that all the time. Okay, but anyway, go ahead. The real podcast is what you guys don't see. If we could just, if a reality TV show, I would do one because we're crazy. Gosh. But sorry.
Advocate for yourself.
Yeah.
Document. If you've got Apple Watch, document your sleep. Track your sleep patterns. If you're having hot flashes, track how often they're coming. And go to your doctors and don't let them just say, everything looks fine. Mm-hmm. Don't let them shrug you off like, oh, your numbers are fine. Stay what persistent. Are you talking about?
Yeah.
Be persistent. You have to advocate for yourself, and especially women of color, because we already are deemed as not being taken seriously in the health. You know, they think our pain thresholds are higher.
There you go. That's it right there.
They think that, you know, we don't need pain medicine. You know that the Black maternal death rate is higher than any other group in the United States. So I would just say, if you are of a woman of a particular age, my favorite phrase, mm-hmm. Shout out to Wendy Williams. Go get checked out. Yeah. You know, talk about it. Get your levels. Learn about it. Learn about FSH.
Don't just say they'll go away.
Yeah,
it'll go away.
Pay attention to your symptoms. Don't just listen to your relatives who are like, oh yeah, that's just part of it. You know, mm-hmm. That's just part of life, because there are things that you can get if you don't feel comfortable with the estrogen, the patch. There are other things that you can get. Yes, I understand the symptoms or the side effects, the potential for, you know, blood clots or the potential for stroke or the potential for those things. But you've got to pay attention to your body and work on the healing of the body so that you can feel good again.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 48. I feel so much better in this last week than I've felt in over a year.
Yeah.
In a year, first of all, my wine studies. Beautiful.
I'm happy.
I'm happy too, because I've stepped back. I've walked away from a lot of things because in the last year I just didn't feel good. I didn't feel like myself. I didn't want to do anything. I lacked the enthusiasm for anything. So I would just say to you, if you know that you're feeling up, and talk to your friends. Shout out to my girl Andrea. Shout out to Francis. These ladies that I have in my friend group who were talking about it. Find resources online. Mary Claire, she's a doctor online. She talks about perimenopause and menopause and mm-hmm. supplements. Oprah has done a talk about menopause. Like Halle Berry talks about just recently how she went to the doctors and he inappropriately diagnosed her with herpes from her symptoms that she was having. And no, it was that she was in menopause. So, you know, advocate for yourself, document, present your information, and get the help that you need. And if your doctor isn't giving you the support, get a new one.
There you go.
Change it up. Yep. Leave who you are with if they are not supporting your journey to healing and health.
Don't feel like you have to be committed. You're not in an actual relationship with your doctor.
No. And
it's just a business agreement.
I've burned my endocrinologist up in writing. Yeah. Like
she did. But just wanna just say, like, you know, you do form those relationships.
Yes.
But realize that it's a business agreement, because if your insurance stops, they will stop seeing you.
Right.
And they will not call you to see how you're doing or email you just to see how you're doing. No, you don't exist anymore. So if your doctor is not satisfying you and doing what you need them to do, then find another one.
Yes, because if you are paying for if your good government dollars are going towards your health plan, you are paying into something. You're paying into a service that's supposed to ensure your well-being.
Yeah.
Your well-being is important and you're paying for it.
Yeah.
So get with a team, develop your own team, investigate, find doctors in your area who specialize in that. Talk about it. Talk to your friends. You know, I just wanted to take a moment to speak on it because it's something that often isn't discussed among women. It's like this thing like, oh, yeah, girl, I'm having hot flashes, but I'm going to be all right. No. I'm a solid week in now, and I feel so much better.
It's awesome, man. Love it.
So much I love it. Better.
I'm happy, man. Happy. I'm going to applaud for that. Yeah. Horn for that.
Yes.
Oh, it'll be this one.
Hey.
There she is. Shows up. That's dope, man. That's a good segment. I'm glad you talked about that. Thanks for sharing that.
I think it's important. I think it's important because I've been feeling like shit.
just so let me just jump on, you know what I'm saying, on that or whatever. And, you know, this past week, we went out Thursday night and I spoke to you about how my week has been.
Yes.
And for some reason, like this whole week, I was feeling, I called it, I guess, like little antisocial media type of thing and whatnot. Like I didn't feel like interacting with strangers.
Yeah.
This week, I didn't feel like interacting largely with even some of like my friends. Like I don't know. I was just in a mood all week, and I was like in a funk all week, and I didn't really know why. There really was no reason and whatnot. And then, you know, you and I spoke. I had to talk to you about it. I'm the type of person that something bothered me. I had to get it out. Yeah. And once I get it out, then I feel better afterwards most times. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it Thursday night, and we shared some commonalities in between with the interactions with us and our friends and stuff like that, your friend circle, share some of the same feelings and stuff like that.
Yes.
So that was a good session to get that out there. But even with that, like I was like, man, maybe I'll go find a therapist or something.
Oh.
Because you don't see it, but I be moody.
I definitely don't.
I be moody.
You don't give that to me at all.
I be moody sometimes. I recognize that in myself, and I don't know where it comes from. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily feel like something is wrong.
Right.
But a lot of times I just don't know why, mm-hmm. and I just be like that. And this was one of those weeks. Now, after Thursday, I felt great, but remember, I didn't get sleep because right. I felt too good Thursday night. And then, yes, exactly. And then Friday was a wrap, but today I felt lighter, like I told you.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? And just was in a good mood all day and all that good stuff. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, thanks for, you know what I'm saying, the communication, the conversation, and the support. You know what I'm saying?
I'm your wife.
Yes, indeed. And
I'm your friend.
Yes, boom. There you go.
And we should be able to talk about anything.
Yes, and that's
the goal. Any and everything.
That's the
beautiful
thing.
And that's what I'm here for.
Yes, appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to bring that up too. Like, you know, hey, man, we be going through stuff.
We do. And I still have a therapist, Holla.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sharing her name. Because, listen, I have given a few referrals to her, and she's been able to accept one person of the referrals, but I'm not giving her name.
You graduated to a month now?
I graduated, yes. But I still am in therapy. Yes.
Yeah, you're doing good.
I'm doing good. I love it.
I'm happy to just not been here for the journey.
It's been a journey.
Pause.
It's been a journey because I was in therapy once a week for a solid 2 years.
Yeah, something like that.
2.5, maybe almost 3, just trying to get through the shit, just getting through the muck that we deal with. We as women, we deal with stuff. I deal with stuff being a daughter. Mm-hmm. I deal with stuff being a mother. I deal with stuff being a wife. First I was a girlfriend, then I was a wife. I deal with stuff being, you know, an employee. I deal with stuff as being an entrepreneur. And I deal with stuff as far as my own self-confidence and my own vision of myself.
Mm-hmm. My thing, and I'll share with you guys, is that I feel a lot of times I feel like an outsider. Even I feel like a loner, mm-hmm. even though I have, you know, you always talk about my friend circle and the people that I have around me and stuff like that. I feel a lot of times like a loner. Even when within those relationships, a lot of times, it's wild, and I don't know if there's a name for that. I don't know if it's a thing or whatever, but I really do a lot of times, and sometimes it's just like I feel like you know, my point of view and my outlook on life is so different than everyone that I know,
mm-hmm.
and maybe everyone feels that way.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe everyone feels like, because technically everyone's outlook is different, but some you see kind of jive together more than others.
Absolutely.
And I feel like my approach and my outlook on life a lot of times is so different from, like, you know what I'm saying, people close to me, that it makes me feel like a loner. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I 10,000% understand, and I express that to you. I've felt like that,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of it has to do with moving at a young age. Like, I left New York and moved to Maryland, losing one set of friend group, having to start over and build new friends in my childhood, and then from there going off to college.
Mm-hmm.
I, an only child until I was 18 years old, and then I had siblings. But the 18-year age gap is just not the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like growing up with someone who's 4 years just younger than you or 4 years older than you. I had no siblings. I was always by myself. So the way that I've moved around, I'm always showing up by myself to connect with other people, with this group over here, with that group over there. It's always been that. I've never... Yeah,
there's a difference. You actually have been a loner for many parts of you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. time periods in your life, where I haven't.
Right,
I just felt like I was because of whatever reasons and whatnot. And it's an interesting thing. I mean, that's something. What you're talking about is something as well. Like that having to go through life at certain periods.
Yeah.
You used to just being on your own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, it's just you know, something to share. I don't know what it is or where we go with it and whatnot, but I did feel like sharing that.
But yeah, and it's a process, and we have good benefits. So yes, please, yes. If you feel like you need a therapist, please go ahead and investigate.
Or want one,
go ahead and investigate, because trust me, it's paid for.
Yeah,
Just do it.
I might do that just to talk, you know, who knows. Mm-hmm. What might come out of that. And you know, and a lot of the stuff I keep it's not really, it's almost effortless to keep it hidden from the people that I'm around. Like, you don't be seeing me being moody and stuff like that.
I don't see it. And I live with you. I've never felt that you're moody. I think you know when, if I'm in a bad space, I can tell. First of all, I'll be like, listen, I'm off today. I'm pissed today. I'm not here today. Oh, you know what? I'm not working today. I'm just going to go get back into bed.
Yeah.
You know, like, I do. Yeah. If I feel it in my gut and I feel it, like, you know what? I can't today.
Yeah.
I can't. I'll put it out there. And that's something, a lot that I learned from therapy, to just embrace it, understand it. Don't suppress it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, Black men are professional suppressors.
Mm.
Like, so hiding, I won't use the word hiding, but just keeping that out of the viewpoint of the loved ones is something that we are really good at.
Right, like the Vince Staples show.
Yes, we talked about that. Like Vince Staples, every day he went through hell and high water throughout his entire day.
Lord.
And at the end of every episode, he came home, sat down, and his lady asked him how his day was, and he said,
"That's good.
It's cool.
That's cool.
Ain't nothing happened.
Nothing happened. Like, dude,
you been shot at all the things.
You went to jail. You did this. You did that. What?
That's the brilliance of that show. Like, it I can is. Relate to it 1,000%.
It speaks so much to the black male experience.
Yo, does it? Does it? Let me see. What's homegirl's name? K. Michelle is the chick's name, right? You know K. Michelle, of course.
Puddin'. Yes.
She said that if her man cries in front of her, she loses respect for him. Something to
she
that effect.
Did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I missed this.
Yeah, K. Michelle. I thought I saved that post.
K. Michelle said this? Yeah. Is this recent or is
recent.
It old?
It's recent. I think it was K. Michelle.
K. Michelle is putting. K. Michelle is a singer.
It might
and
be somebody
country
else.
Music singer as well. K. Michelle is a country artist. Beyonce just recently sent her flowers, telling her, you know, she hopes to meet her one day in person, and she knows that her journey in country music hasn't been easy, and she just wants to give her flowers.
Damn, I hope I'm not wrong about the person. I don't want to say that. I might be wrong about that. Somebody came out and said, I think it was K. Michelle, though, that if her man cries in front of her, then she loses respect for him. And how do you feel about that?
No. I think vulnerability is a huge part of connection.
Mm-hmm.
For me. Awareness. If you cried in front of me and you feel comfortable to be that vulnerable in front of me, all I can do is embrace you and support you.
Right.
In that, you know, in that moment, and not look at you like as a punk or nothing. That's crazy. Like,
yeah, K. Michelle. It was K. Michelle. She says she doesn't feel protected when her man cries in front of her. I turn into the man, is what she said.
And that comes from a space of constantly having to be the man in the relationship.
You think so? Because she said something very specific there.
She turns into the man.
She said basically she I guess she feels like if the man's crying, she says she doesn't feel protected. So that means that he is like less of a man in that moment. And she says she has to, I guess she's saying she has to play the role of a man in that moment.
This doesn't have anything to do. You don't have to step into the role of being a man. You can just support your man and allow him to be vulnerable. It doesn't mean you have to switch places.
Yeah, no doubt.
You don't have to. That doesn't have to happen.
Yeah.
But if you're coming from a place of being in other torn and broken relationships, mm-hmm. where you've already felt like you had to be the man, then that's an instant. Trauma. It might be a traumatic response.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No doubt. Trauma's a thing. Yeah. I thought that was wild. She said that.
Yeah, I don't even know. I want you to be able to be comfortable and cry to me so I can hold you and support you in whatever it mm-hmm. is that you're going
listen
through.
Man, when I you know, and I'm still mourning, but when I mourned the loss of Lily, like yeah. yo, I held that in. It was just one day, y'all. Mm-hmm. I just held it in for one day because I had an event that day, the cookout on the rooftop.
Yeah.
Had a bunch of people over, and this is when I found out about her. Yeah. And then I had to take Taj all the way up to Silver Spring and drop him at his mom's yeah. house and drive all the way back.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, yo, you know, just holding on to it for a day. It was crazy. And I broke down, you know what I'm saying, at some point. And we were on video phone. We weren't together, but, you know, you supported me in that moment.
Yeah.
And like, look, you know, I don't feel like less of a man if I express emotion in that regard.
You're human.
Yeah, human being.
You're human, and we can't think that men are not supposed to cry. You got to stop telling little boys to stop crying.
Yeah, be tough.
Man
yeah.
up, be tough. No, that's then teaching don't. Them to suppress their emotions.
Right. No, listen, Some of it's gonna stick around. So the machismo, we're not out here just crying at every little thing all the time. Of course not.
Moments happen.
And whatnot. But you know what I'm saying? Certain things happen, man. Like, listen, you know, you have loss, things of that nature, whatever yeah. you're gonna, you know.
No.
That emotion is going to, or you might watch Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and his dad, you know
Uncle
what I'm saying?
Phil, please.
Remember his
please.
Dad?
Oh, his dad.
Everybody cried in that episode. You kidding me?
Everybody cried.
Why he don't want me?
Why he don't want me?
I don't need him. I don't need him. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And he said, why he don't want me? Everybody was crying.
Yes. And you know what I mean? It doesn't make you less of a man. It makes you more human to yeah. actually be able to express that. I don't want you to suppress it. I want you to feel like emotionally you can be whoever you want.
I'm me. You know what I'm saying? Listen, yes. the right movie come on, right commercial, mm-hmm. you might get a tear out of me.
Yes.
I cried the whole damn Bob Marley movie.
Yeah, that Bob Marley movie was for real.
But I will still punch you in the face. And that goes for the lesbian chicks out there trying to get at my wife, too. Y'all get punched in the face.
Babe, you can't hit the women.
Huh? I can't punch them in the face?
No.
Why not?
You can't, because it's not right.
Not even the butchers?
I'll punch them. But I be scared sometimes. I don't be like, wait a minute. I don't even be knowing sometimes. I'll be like, wait a minute.
Man. Yo, y'all better watch how y'all moving out here, though. You know what I'm saying? Think y'all can just do whatever y'all want out here.
It's
whole husbands out here.
Yeah, it's whole husbands out here.
We watch a lot of WWF when we were kids, and we will suplex you out here.
Pile drive
you on the grass. At least they'll do it in the grass and they'll get hurt too bad.
Please do not. We have had instances. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you brought that up. Oh my gosh.
Hey man, listen. It just came up.
Oh my God.
I'm thinking sweet out here.
Oh my gosh.
Now the instances are starting to come to her brain.
I remember. Uh-huh. I remember the thing. Listen.
Watch yourself, yo.
Y'all gotta stop. Y'all can't be all aggressive and
no.
No, you can't. You can't.
She's beautiful.
You
I get it.
You can't be flirting with me in front of my husband nah. and think that he's not going to feel
I'm
away.
I'm going to treat you like a man.
Like, no. Stop.
I'm not a violent person, y'all. I'm just playing around.
I'm married. Come on.
I'm just playing.
I don't want it. I'm good. I got it over here.
When I left Fox, I went to MGM for one picture. Thank goodness, only one. And when I got there with my mother, we were separated. She went into the office of Louis B. Mayer, and I went into the office of Arthur Freed. And he was going to talk to me about a movie he wanted to put me in. I'm 12 years old, you know. And I thought he was a producer, but instead he was an exhibitor. And I'd never seen anyone naked before, except myself. So I had no clue about what was happening. And so it struck me so funny, I laughed at him. And I laughed uproariously. I had tears, you know. And he got infuriated. And he said, out, go.
Did you tell your mother?
Well, I went down. It was very quiet. I went down and met her in the lobby of the administration building. She She came out very quietly from Louis B. Mayer's office, and we walked hand in hand silently to the car, which was unusual. We got in the car driving home. I said, Mom, you won't believe what happened to me. And I told her what happened, and she got kind of quiet. She said, well, you don't know what happened to me. And Louis D. Mayer wasn't as bad as Freed was to me.
He
came on to my mother. And so we both decided that we didn't like MGM much. It was, you know, it was better at Fox.
That was Shirley Temple.
That was Shirley Temple?
On with Larry King years ago, talking about how when she was 12 years old.
12. That's horrible.
It's crazy.
That's really disgusting.
It's disgusting. Her mother, they separated them.
Right. Intentionally.
Clearly. So that goes. That definitely goes into this next topic that we want to talk about.
Oh, my God.
Right? This is Shirley Temple, y'all.
A star.
You know what I'm saying? Long time. This has been going on for a long time. So the topic, you want to introduce the topic?
It is. No, you.
So it's basically how we're learning. Mm-hmm. It's about the industry.
Yes, the right? industry. And the entertainment industry.
And how we're learning about some of our favorite artists. Not okay, Shirley Temple thing is one thing.
Yeah,
but it shows how things are.
Yeah,
we're learning about our favorite artists and hearing stories about them. That you know what I'm saying, that come out later, and mm-hmm. do these stories tarnish the legacies?
Yeah. Okay, so
let's touch on a few of them.
Let's touch on
pause.
The Huffington Post.
Yep.
Did an article, and it's titled 17 Famous Men Everyone Loves Who Were Actually Major, Major Creeps. They put the major twice. And they talk about several of our beloved, popular, well-loved artists and their scandals of underage, inappropriate behaviors. And one might even say the word grooming. You want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead. Go.
First up, musical legend Prince, one of my favorite artists, began an alleged platonic relationship with Mai Tai Garcia when she was 16 years old. After her mom slipped him a tape of her belly dancing, he invited her backstage and later back to his hotel room. Both parties denied having a sexual relationship until she was 19 years old. But Prince later claimed he knew she'd be his wife upon meeting her. So when she was 16, he said, that's going to be my wife.
That's wild. That's wild. That is wild.
He never denied the occasional impure thought crossed his mind, but he was too wise and decent to take advantage of a 16-year-old girl. Fast forward. While they at first corresponded from afar, Prince became her legal guardian when she was 17 years old. Her mom signed her away to Prince when she was 17. Mm. 1 year after meeting him.
Mm.
She then moved in with him and danced on his tour. At 19 years old, he told her it was time for her to go on birth control. And they began a sexual relationship. The two wed in 1996 when she was 22. So think about that. 19 to 22. They were just fucking.
So, you know, this is wild, right? On one hand, we don't know. She was 16, yo.
16. Her mama signed her away. And I've watched Mai Tai Garcia on Hollywood Ex-Wives. She was on a show that featured her, Nicole Murphy, Eddie Murphy's ex-wife, Damon Wayans' ex-wife, and Sheree, who is Will Smith's ex-wife. There was a show, and R. Kelly's ex-wife, Drea. There was a show called Hollywood Ex-Wives. They were all on that show. And she talks a little bit about the traumas that she experienced while being Prince's wife.
I don't know how old he was. Does it say how old he was when she was
16? It does not give the age of how old he was when he's pursuing her.
If I'm 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
So remember I talked about how the men's scale kind of stays still at one side and just goes like, if I'm 30 and I'm like, this, I see a chick and I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, oh, she got to be like 22, 23. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Right? And she tough. Yeah. She tough. And I go talk to her and she tell me she's 16. Then she's forgotten. Yeah. I'm out. I'm just out. You know, because for a variety of reasons.
Right.
Legal is just one reason.
Yeah, you don't want to go to jail.
That's not even the major reason. Right. You know what I'm saying? The more major reasons is that she's not developed. She's a child. She's a kid.
Right.
I don't care how she looks. She, right. You know what I'm saying? And I can't even, there's no justification in my mind for that. You know what I mean?
It's crazy. I didn't even know this. And I remember with Mai Tai and Prince that they went on Oprah's show to discuss the loss of their child. They did an in-depth Oprah Winfrey interview to talk about how they were so excited. She got pregnant. She had this baby, and the baby died of some rare kind of disease or something. And later, when I watched the Hollywood Ex-Wives show, she then spoke about how he never wanted to speak about it. He didn't want to put that out there. They didn't give the baby's... I think they eventually told the baby's name, but
he's a very private dude.
He's a very private dude. And he never wanted it to be known that he basically groomed her.
No, yeah, and the grooming thing, we've had our discussions about that. And I do have some issues with the way people are using the word grooming.
But that's grooming. 16 years old, and you don't marry her until she's 22. You've had all this time to mold her and shape her, and you've been having sex with her for all these years.
When she turned 19.
So he says.
Right.
So they say.
But we know Prince as being a very religious dude.
A Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've heard stories of him, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
With strippers, like, y'all don't have, you know what I'm saying, taking people out of environments and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
We've heard stories about him. So he has the credentials of a decent human being.
But being a legal guardian of a 17-year-old that you then eventually marry 2 years later.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. Now, you had to look at the parents.
The mother who sold her off.
Sold your child off.
Sold her off. Which is what they say about many of the instances with R. Kelly. The parents were selling their daughters off.
Yes.
To him.
To help them pursue their dreams and all these things and whatnot. And it'll be a good idea if you do this, maybe. I can't justify it because I would never do it. I do have to note, you know, we have pedophilia, right? You have pedophiles out here who are just going for the young kids and just doing whatever, right? And this is men and women doing these things because more and more stories are coming out of, sorry guys, but white women fucking kids from school, teachers, you know what I'm saying? Fucking with kids, right? It happens a lot, it seems.
A lot. I don't even understand that because I don't look at 12-year-old boy.
So if you see someone, if a guy, he's not that. Because if he was, then he would have been trying to fuck with her when she was 16.
Right.
He says, wait until you're 19. Now, there's something creepy in that, too. It's not pedophilia. It's something creepy in that, too. However, we would hope that every man, if there's some type of attraction between you and a woman who is underage, that you would wait.
Walk the fuck away. If she's 16 years old, she's not even, and you're 30 something, walk the fuck away.
I agree. But there are men out here who are attracted to younger women. And we would hope that those people would not take advantage of the child when she's underage like that and would wait until she's of age and then maybe entertain it at that point. We would hope. It's a lesser of two evils.
We would hope.
It's a lesser of two evils.
But becoming her legal guardian
a year
after you met her and then marrying her 2 years after. You can't tell me you wasn't fucking her when she was 16.
Yeah, I don't.
You
I don't
can't tell me.
I'm not going to say that.
I love Prince.
We all do.
But this was one that I didn't even realize. I know that she would like when I was watching the reality show, she didn't want to say too much.
Yeah.
Like, and she was saying that there was some trauma there.
Right.
Mai Tai got a story.
Let's get a couple more.
Okay, we got a couple more. All right, you guys have all watched Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Poltergeist with Linda, what was her name?
The little girl.
Linda. Okay, we'll keep going.
Yeah.
So, Linda Blair. Okay, 80s star Rick Springfield and singer of Jesse's Girl dated Linda Blair, the kid from The Exorcist, when he was 25 years old and she was only 15. In fact, he proudly wrote about the fact in his autobiography, "I am her first lover, and she was an enthusiastic learner. We shared a love of dogs and sex, separately, not in combination. Most of the time, we don't leave the apartment. She's invited to premieres and Hollywood parties, and we go as a couple, blindly and innocently, to the media slaughter. We're actually really shocked by the incensed articles in both teen and regular press about our affair. Either we have zero understanding of what makes the press tick, or it's a really slow month for news."
That's crazy.
She was 15.
15.
And he was 25.
25.
And he was dating the girl from Poltergeist.
15.
She's 15 years old.
Jeez.
Now I understand these child stars are thrown into the hodgepodge of adulthood early, especially if you have a groundbreaking movie like Poltergeist, where you're, you know, going on stages and you're getting awards and all this stuff. You're treated as an adult.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
And as Shirley Temple told us, if we can see from this example that in that universe, right? Because I always say this is a whole different universe from what we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Their reality is different than ours. In that world, this is regular. This is normal.
Yeah.
You can be a 25-year-old man. You can be a 30-year-old man with a 15, 16-year-old walking around holding hands, and everybody look at it is normal. It's because it happens so much in that world.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. 25 and 15 is nuts. When I was 25, there's no way. Like I said, 20, 15, 16, 18, 17, I'm walking away. If I'm 21, you're 17, I'm walking away.
Okay. I don't even want to read the next one.
Oh, God.
But I'm going to read it because...
Let's do it.
The Go. Huffington Post posted. I'm so mad about this. Like, I didn't even think about this when it happened.
Mm.
Michael Jackson met Brooke Shields when she was 13.
Mm.
And he was 20.
Mm.
He claimed they were dating and later called Shields one of the loves of my life.
Mm.
Though Shields has denied that their relationship was ever romantic, Michael Jackson also had a history of hanging out with minors other than Brooke Shields, and particularly of having sleepovers and sharing a bed with underage boys.
We know this.
He was investigated as early as 1993 on molestation allegations and was again booked in 2003 on molestation charges. Though he was acquitted in the 2010s, two men with documented relationships with Michael Jackson claimed that they had been molested many times by Jackson while he fought and filed suit against Jackson's estate and companies, but their suits were dismissed because of the large amounts of time since the alleged incidents occurred. Both men were later told their story in the HBO special Leaving Neverland. All allegations were denied by Michael Jackson's estate, which sued HBO over the documentary.
Okay, well, listen, you know, it's interesting how they just flashed the Brooke Shield thing and then just went into all the other stuff. Like
correct.
We've heard all that stuff. And like they said, he was acquitted of all those things.
All those things.
Just because there's a whole lot of allegations doesn't mean that you did something.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we don't know. maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. I'm not in the business of defending anyone that I don't know like that. So, but the Brooke Shields thing is crazy. 13 and 20.
13 and 20. The love of his life. It's nuts. What? Okay, you want me to keep going?
Yeah, we can do one more. Let's do one more.
Okay. One more now. The black woman delegation, we all know. He is fine as wine, and we've been lusting after him for forever. He's 60 right now, I believe.
Let's go.
But Brad Pitt was reportedly 27 years old when he first began dating 17-year-old Juliette Lewis, though they met on the set of Too Young to Die when she was only 16. The two dated for 3 years. That's Juliette Lewis. She was also with Woody Harrelson in that wild ass movie. They were killers, natural born killers.
Natural born killers.
She was the co-star with Woody Harrelson in that movie, if you've ever seen that. Mm. Again, Brad Pitt is a repeat offender. Pitt previously dated Christina Applegate from 1988 to 1989 when he was in his mid-20s, so 25, and she was only 17. He also reportedly dated Shalane McCall when she was 15/16, and he was in his mid-20s.
Yeah, see, when you get into the 15s, 16s, great. If you tell me 17 years old, you tell me there's a day that's separating you from 17 to 18. It's like, you got a great area, but 15, 16?
15,
13, 16. 15, 16? It's crazy.
Okay, let me give you just one more. Okay, please allow me to give you one more.
Go ahead.
We got to go to the black side. Okay, we're going to go to the black side.
Back to the black side. Back to the Prince black side. Yeah, rest in peace, Prince and Michael Jackson. We love them.
Yes, we rest in peace to them. Be clear, yo. Be clear, because those are my favorite artists. Next, you're not going to believe this. Marvin Gaye met his second wife, Jan, when she was only 17.
Okay. He was what?
They admittedly started up a relationship despite the fact that he was 34.
Double the age.
Yes. There is also speculation that the mother of his first child was not his first wife, Anna Gordy, but actually her 15-year-old niece, Denise.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Did you get that?
So Anna is the one he did the album for.
Was it for the first or the second? It wasn't for the second wife?
I believe it was for Anna. So I can hear Anna. I'm singing a song. This is Anna's song.
Yeah. He actually impregnated her sister.
Allegedly.
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 And she was 15.
Wow. Her sister? Wow, that's ill.
Gay later admitted that the son was adopted, and Denise claimed to have been the mother of the child, saying, "My aunt was unable to have children, and I had one for her."
Whoa.
It was as simple as that. But multiple books on Gay assert that he is the biological father of a 15-year-old child.
Wow.
Baby.
That's ill. Do these stories tarnish the legacies of artists?
Come on. Listen. I did Prince, Michael Jackson, Brad Pitt, and Marvin Gaye. What the hell?
Listen,
what do we do with this information?
What do you do with it?
What do you do with this information? I mean, we know that R. Kelly was having sex slaves and all kind of shit that he was doing, and he's in jail for that. But this type of stuff, Prince went as far as to get legal custody of his soon-to-be
and
wife.
I'm not going to stop.
How the fuck do you do that?
I'm not going to stop listening to
7779311.
7779311.
I mean,
babe, all right. What's your phone number? Yeah, we was just singing before we started the episode. What was babe. What's the name? The Michael Jackson joint.
Oh, why? Why?
Human nature.
Da, 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 da. Why? Listen, if you're 20 and you're dating a 13-year-old, you should be in jail.
Yeah, I wish I had the drop right now. It's all lies. It's lies.
It's lies.
It's lies.
It's lies.
But for real, though, like, people listening or watching, when these stories start coming out, you know, does it affect you? Does it affect your relationship with these people? You know what I'm saying? Does it tarnish the legacies?
I love me some Marvin Gaye.
It's all, I guess a lot of it is, some of it is alleged, but some of it is documented.
It's documented. These stories, they kept quiet and now they're talking about them now because they are deceased.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from the Brad Pitt thing, because he's still here. He's
still around.
And Rick Springfield was dumb enough to write in his autobiography. How you 25 with a 15-year-old?
Dude, listen, man.
Yo, that's Jesus Christ. That's wild.
That's nasty.
That's nasty. And folks should have been in jail, but because it's Holly weird, they get away with that shit.
Get away with it.
Because they look at these children who are actors and stars, they look at them as adults. We watched The Dark Side of Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
The other night, a few weeks ago. And that was just scary.
It's nasty.
It's absolutely scary.
Yeah, man. You want to talk about what we watching?
Hey, come on, let's go.
Brunch podcast, as you can see, and here's what we're watching on TV.
Excuse me, partner, can you keep that shit down? You should be watching TV.
This segment is brought to you by Fill in the Blank. Somebody step up.
Somebody, sponsors, come to us.
No, we're going to come to y'all soon. Pause.
Listen, we sat up the other night and watched X-Men 97. That was Thursday night after we came out from being on the street?
No.
Was it that night?
I think so.
Okay, listen. All I know is I was traumatized. It was late at night, and we decided to turn on X-Men 97.
We had already watched a couple of episodes, right?
Yeah. We missed 2 weeks.
Right.
So we were catching up. And these two episodes that we watched were so traumatizing that I don't even know how to feel right now with these people who made this out.
So X-Men 97 is an animated series.
Yes.
On Disney. Right? And it picks up where the X-Men cartoon left off years ago. The animation itself is not advanced. Like today's. It looks like it was made back in 97.
It's still like 97,
It
y'all.
Looks like back then.
On Fox.
The storyline has been dope so far. Okay, we watched it. Oh, that was good. That was actually pretty good. Because it's a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good. Okay, cool. And everybody's been talking about it.
Yes.
The last episode that we just watched, we were troubled. We're not going to give it away. No spoiler alert here.
Spoilers.
We were troubled. This is a cartoon, y'all. It is so well written.
Mm-hmm. Kudos to the writers.
Kudos.
Now, I understand. So some of my friends who have commented said that this is the comic.
Yeah.
This is the comic book.
Yeah.
This is how it was written.
Right.
And it only gets worse.
Right. The writer said, this episode 5, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, episode 5 is nothing. Wait till y'all get to 8 through 10.
Yeah, hold my beer.
Hold the beer, please. It's about to get crazy. X-Men 97 is fire, y'all.
Yes.
Fire. If you don't have Disney, go ahead and make your new email.
Yes.
And get you a trial period and watch it.
Because right now it's 5 episodes. Is it 5 or 6?
I think it's five.
5 episodes are out right now and they come out weekly. And let me tell you, you will sit there and you will be flabbergasted.
Episode 5 was crazy.
We were sitting there like, what?
Jaws dropped.
No, this was not supposed to happen while I'm watching this. Yeah. No, this is not supposed to happen.
And I'm not supposed to be reacting to a cartoon
and
this
I'm
way.
I'm not supposed to. That part.
I'm grown, damn it.
Emotionally traumatized. I posted it on my Facebook page because I know that's where people talk about stuff like this.
Yeah.
And I said, so are we going to talk about
the
traumatized?
We all need therapy, y'all.
Event of X-Men 97. Are we going to talk about this?
Oh, man.
And a lot of my friends hadn't watched it when I posted it, and then they went and watched it.
And
like,
they came back like, holy shit. Right.
Wait a minute. Oh, man. Listen, I'm not ready
really
for
good.
This.
Really
I'm not
good.
Ready for this. I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for this. I remember watching X-Men back in the day when Jean Grey became the Phoenix.
Oh, gosh.
And that was a whole thing.
Yep.
It was just this whole thing about the Phoenix and all this stuff. And here we are again with Jean Grey with drama.
I mean, the only problem I have with this series, what's the homegirl's name? With the that she was dating the Storm? The car. Storm. Yes. No. Storm. Storm is the black one.
Oh, you're talking about Rogue.
Rogue. Uh-huh. Yeah, they flattened their booty out.
Thank you, my friend. My friend from middle school, Damon Waters, for pointing out that Rogue's booty is not the same as it was in the comic books.
Yeah.
Thank you. Apparently, there's she not got enough. She used to have a C booty.
She had a 2024 booty. And now she got a 1997 booty. They've
got I'm so tired of y'all. I'm so tired of y'all. Like, for real. Damon Waters.
Oh, man.
I'm shouting you out.
You gave his government?
I gave his name. That's his name. I didn't give his middle name. I know the middle name. Man. I could have said the whole thing, but I didn't. Yeah, but shout out to my boy Damon who pointed that out, that the booty wasn't right.
Good show, baby. Good show. Good show. It was a good pod. Good pod today.
I enjoyed this with you, you know?
Fun.
And shout out to last night. We were guests on yes, a show yes, last night, and I want to Mike take a walk.
Let's take a walk.
Oh my gosh!
On Facebook, check them out on Facebook.
It's so great. And
Trina really loved that.
I really love it. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like us to be guests on your podcast, holla at us.
Yeah, holla.
You know,
in studio or over video, whatever.
Over video, or Zoom, whatever you want. We're here.
We love running our mouths.
We love being talent.
Okay? Yes. Oh my God! Yes,
we just gotta show up. We love being the talent. I ain't gotta worry
about no cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, afterward, I was like, I should have streamed through this through my own 4K camera. I could have streamed through that. I should have set that up.
That's why I said. I said, "Ooh, is he doing it through his DSLR camera?"
Yeah,
he
is all clear, and ours looks kind of crazy.
You know,
it's all good though.
Lessons we learn.
Good episode. Good show today. We had a lot to talk about.
We have so much more.
We have more, but we'll save those topics.
Ladies
for the
and
next
gentlemen,
one.
I got cards, okay? She does. I got cards. I'm on my Tamron Hall right now, okay?
But we are late today. It's already after 10 o'clock.
Oh my gosh.
I'm hungry for sure.
It's 10 o'clock.
It's after 10 o'clock.
Sweet baby Jesus. What are we gonna do?
We started an hour late today. Oh.
Because I was asleep.
Because you're sleeping.
I was sleeping good.
It's all good though.
I said I only wanted an hour nap and to wake. I thought I said wake me up.
No, you did not say wake me up.
Oh.
No, you did not say wake me up. You didn't even say you want an hour nap.
I did. I thought I said it.
No, you didn't say anything.
Maybe I said it to Beans.
You came home. We walked in and all of a sudden I looked to the left, and when I looked back to the right, you had no clothes on. And then when I blinked and looked up, you were laying in bed.
And then you got in bed with me because I was like,
you don't remember that.
I do. I look at you and say, oh, you're getting in bed with me?
You did not say that.
I didn't say that.
You didn't say a thing. You were unconscious.
I was?
Yes. You were knocked out when I got in bed. No, you did not.
I didn't look at you when you got in the bed.
No, you were asleep.
I was dreaming.
Love you, baby.
I love you more.
And I think that we are going to end this broadcast. Ooh, y'all be good out there.
Wow. Bye.